welcome to Control Chaos on the Everything Unscripted Network. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. We got a special one today. I'm going to be interviewing a guy I kind of go way back with, up-and-coming rapper, your boy LT2, a.k.a. Leon Thompson. How the hell you doing, Leon?
Hey. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, man?
Can't complain, brother. Can't complain.
Oh, fuck.
So, we got a lot to get into. You just dropped a new tape, right?
About a couple months ago.
There you go. You're working on some new shit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I haven't really been recording much of anything lately. You know, I've still been writing. You know, I've just been trying to, you know, refine my craft, you know, get a little bit better every day.
Right.
And it's a tough thing to do because, you know, I thought that I had a pretty good initial product, but I mean, there's always room for improvement. You just got to find it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of what I wanted to fucking start out here with. We'll get right into the nitty gritty. What I was going to ask you is, because, you know, I've hung out with you before and, you know, I've chilled with you. I know you freestyled a little bit and, like, used to spit with the boys a little bit, but what really got you into, like, saying, all right, I want to make a mixtape. I want to, like, actually start, you know, taking this seriously a little bit.
Well, I mean, it was a lot of things because, I mean, it's a close buddy of mine, Beatmaker Baker, for those of you that don't know, that produced my stuff. And, I mean, he was starting to get into a lot of stuff for school because he's actually starting to go to, I think it's called Blackwell down in Nashville, so, like, music production and everything. So he was working on a lot of projects around me and stuff like that. And, you know, eventually it got to a point where, like, I was around it enough where I was, like, you know, just trying to tell him, you know, it's just like, hey, you know, it'd sound good if you do this or this. And then eventually, you know, he got a couple of my buddies in on a couple of projects, and I looked at that, and I was just like, you know what, fuck it, why not, you know?
Yeah.
So I just started writing and shit, and out popped Microwave, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Right, right. So Microwave was the first track, right? Is that the first thing that you've ever put out, or?
Yeah, that's the first project I've ever actually put out, or really actually ever professionally did.
Damn, dude. Yeah. Because I remember I heard that like a few months ago, and that's when it seemed like you were starting to really kind of get into it. And it's like, wow. Dude.
Yeah, that was back in about May, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, about May. And because I've listened to it and. You know, I've never really, like, I've always known you're, like, an entertaining dude, funny dude, and I've heard you freestyle a little bit, but I never thought, like, you were going to, like, you know, really get into rap. And then I heard Microwave, and
honestly,
it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't either, you know? Things like this just kind of happen.
Yeah, and, but the bars are there, and, like, hearing some of the shit, and I'll get into it more because this album, I think it can be... I think a lot of people could look at it and be like, oh, it's comedy rap. But I think there's a lot more here to dive deep into. And you got, like, some good ideas and shit, too, to be honest with you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, basically, this first album was just kind of like, you know, I put a little bullshit story into it, you know, just to kind of, you know, like, help it flow a little bit, you know, make some things make sense. But really, I mean, this first project was just kind of like a sample platter of things that I felt that I could do and I could do well. So I gave it a shot and put it out there. And I mean, basically, it's just kind of, you know, a blueprint to see, like, what direction I want to go and, you know, like, what was, you know, more responded to.
Right, right. And that's good. So with Microwave, when you put that out, was that kind of just like, fuck it, I'm making a song with the buddies, let's put it out, see what happens, and then it started to get a little, like, traction and people were fucking with it, or... tell me the backstory.
Yeah, it was pretty much like that. I mean, I was going to put it out there. Whatever happened, you know. But, I mean, just, you know, he was my boy was working on a project one day, and, you know, like, I was just, like, scrolling through YouTube, and I just randomly found that beat in my recommendations. I gave a listen to it, and, like, for some reason, I just kind of fucked with it a little bit, started writing, and it just kind of worked out.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I mean, listen to it, it's got the beat, and I've noticed this with a lot of the beats. You and your producer, whoever's making your beats, do you guys have that ear for, like, making, like, sounds and, like, really making a beat out of that? Do you guys find that shit cool, or is it just something you kind of ran for this project?
It's just kind of, like, an interesting little thing to do on the side, because, I mean, really, I mean, and, you know, if you were to ask the guy that produces my stuff, you know, he'd say, like, you know, like, working on my stuff was kind of, like, one of those breath of fresh air type things, you know, kind of like one of those more like relaxed and fun projects to do when, you know, he'd be doing the stuff for school or for other people that was just kind of like, fuck, you know, got to take it mad serious. Where with me, it was just a more laid back atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, something like that. I mean, you know, we did, you know, I think we did fairly well with it, but I mean, in the grand comparison of most things, I mean, you don't really got to work that hard at it, you know?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, though, and, like, it's cool because, like, no one, like, people sitting in a room and it's crazy, like, to think, like, yo, let's make a beat off of a fucking microwave noise or, like, your car starting or some shit like that. Like, I just found that, like, so, like, cool, and it's, like, creative in its own way, too, and it sounded pretty good when you did it, like, with the beats, too. The beats sounded fire, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a bit of a balance for it. I mean, you kind of got to, like, screw around with it and, you know, just be able to laugh at it. But at the same time, you have to really dig down and, you know, like, make it an actual product that can be used. So it was an interesting balance to work on it. But, I mean, it ended up being a whole lot of fun and it ended up working out, in my opinion. So I'm not really that mad about it at all.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think you should be. And it doesn't feel gimmicky either, especially with your shit, because, like, PlayStation – and some of the bars that you spit on there, like about the Sega and the Atari, and I mean, that's obviously about a girl, but and with the PlayStation noise in the back, it's like, wow, that's fucking cool, man. And you make it work, and it doesn't feel like a gimmick or like, oh, he's just doing this because of that. Like, it fits in with the songs, which is important.
I mean, with all these projects, you know, I tried to, you know, like, loop it into what it actually was. I mean, you know, you can, you know, take a beat, you know, like, you know, take a random sound and make a beat out of it and then, you know, rap about shit that has absolutely nothing to do with it. And on another note, you know, just kind of rap about, like, nothing at all. You know, I tried to kind of, like, give, like, a comedic standpoint and a comedic delivery of, you know, some honestly factual points if you really dig down and listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I took from it. And it seems like you're one of those rappers, and this is what I really appreciated, because I feel like this is kind of dying in hip-hop, and it seems like you take a song, and I mean, I could use a couple of – I do want to get into some of the songs themselves, but like Avatar or even the Friend in Me with the Toy Story sample, and you make like these stories out of the song, and it's like actually like – it's not just you spitting over a track, you know, it's like you're actually trying to build like a story out of a song, and you don't see that nowadays a lot. So what's your thought process?
I take a lot of inspiration in that from a lot of different sources. I mean, because if you look at a lot of the music that I personally listen to, you know, a lot of like, you know, there's a good portion of the rap that I listen to that has a lot to do with storytelling. I mean, shit like I don't know if you heard it, but Pieces with 50 Cent and Tory Lanez, you know, Stand with Eminem, obviously, you know, stuff like that. You know, those are songs that I really like, and, you know, they tell a story, they convey a message, you know, there's a main point. You know, I'll listen to rap that's just basically about nonsense, you know, just spitting random lines that don't tie together. But, I mean, when I got into, like, writing shit, you know, that's not what I wanted to do.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's dope, man. So... do you think that that's your niche? Like, that's how you feel comfortable getting to the booth? Taking, like, a beat, and it's like, all right, I'm going to write, like, kind of – even if it's a comedy, because you're doing it in a comedic way, but you're still, like, telling these stories. Is that how you want to keep moving forward with your music? Is that's kind of your sound?
I think to an extent, yes. Because, I mean, that seems to be, you know, like I said, you know, it was basically that first album was a sampler of, you know, everything that I felt that I could do. But it all seemed to come back to that common theme, whether it was the overlying story of the album or just like a small story in one of the songs. I mean, there was always something to it that was kind of like that. Yeah. So I think kind of, you know, incidentally, without maybe trying to do it, you know, it's just what flowed naturally to me and it's just what ended up happening. And I think that's what's going to continue to happen moving forward.
Yeah, 100%, man. And I think that's a good thing. You were talking about your influences. Get into that a little more. Are you a big hip-hop fan? Like, is that the majority of what you listen to? Or
I would say that it's a good portion of what I listen to. You know, I'm still into like older stuff, you know, like different rock, and you know, I'm starting to get back on a more like modern alternative kick too. But I mean, for the most part, I mean, like what I listen to on a day-to-day basis is, you know, rap and hip hop and stuff like that. And I mean, eventually I just kind of noticed myself, you know, just kind of like taking, you know, like bits and pieces from what I listen to deliver my messages. I mean, a guy like Lil Dicky, obviously, who kind of paved the way for this type of rap, you know, that obviously is some sort of inspiration from the comedic standpoint. I mean, there's just a lot of little different bits and pieces that, you know, I took from a lot of different guys. I mean, honestly, if you think, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, you know, one of the best guys right now as far as like wordplay goes and, you know, like using creative ways to get points across is honestly a guy that's, it's honestly Ski Mask for me. So, you know, I took a lot of, you know, kind of like the off-the-wall wordplay, you know, like as an inspiration from a guy like him.
And that's something I don't think a lot of people probably might expect from hearing this or listening to it, that one of your inspirations is Ski Mask. I can hear it though, especially in the bars.
Yeah, I mean, my, you know, the type of music that I, you know, come up with comes from a lot of different places. I mean, I've been told by a couple of people now that, you know, how the songs kind of flow, it's kind of like a Logic sort of feel to it. You know, the word, you know, the comedic values, you know, kind of a little Diggy thing. You know, the wordplay comes from Ski Mask. And then, you know, I kind of tap into a little bit of older Kanye when I want to say some really outlandish shit and just really drive a point home. So, I mean, it's definitely coming from a lot of different places, and I think that it's very interesting to see how it all comes together.
And I mean, as soon as I heard this, I figured you were probably going to get Lil Dicky comparisons out the ass, right? Because of the comedy
Like,
rap and shit.
honestly, not that much, you know,
Okay,
to
good.
be completely honest, because I mean, Lil Dicky has the education to back him, kind of. You know, like with the way that he delivers things, you know, it's very educated, you know, very precise. You know, he has like the words in his arsenal to make flow and, you know, say exactly what he wants to say. So I don't think I'm exactly there as far as that goes, but I'm definitely feel that I am somewhat following in those footsteps without that education.
And I think the music's different too, to be honest. And not in a good or bad way. I just think like you do make different. I think the way you come up with tracks, especially with the comedy tracks and make a story, I think that's very little, that's kind of Little Dicky type vibes. But like the way you make your music and like I was getting more of the Logic comparisons and stuff like that with how you're spinning your bars. And to me, you don't really rap like Little Dicky. You might make your stuff a little bit like him, but the bars themselves and the flows a lot different.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be one thing in particular either, you know, like I'm not, you know, looking at a certain artist and going, you know, this is what I want to be, you know, through and through. You know, I just kind of look at it, it's just like, okay, I like what this artist does, you know, how can I make that fit into what I'm trying to be, which is just myself, really. And I think that that's a pretty big deal for this whole thing too, because I mean, a lot of newer rappers coming out, you know, see people with kind of like, you know, the blueprint for, you know, the type of rap that they like and how to make it, and they just kind of follow that to a T. Whereas I'm just kind of taking, you know, a little bit more in pieces, you know, from really all of them and just trying to, you know, make it work into what I'm trying to do.
Well, yeah, and all that really makes who you are too, you know. So it's going to come across in your music. It's not any one thing, right? It's
No,
a
definitely.
mix of inspirations.
Yeah, and I think that's very important.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would 100% agree. Now, for a guy who I've done a lot of hip hop and rapping in the past, and I probably have at least like hours worth of outtakes of me screaming fuck or like, oh god damn it. What made you want to put the outtake track at the beginning? And by the way, it's fucking hilarious. What made you want to do that as kind of like the intro?
You know, that's honestly, it was for one of two reasons. One, just because, you know, we were finding a lot of funny shit that ended up getting picked up, and, you know, we were just like, you know, we didn't want to waste it. You know, like that was a lot of comedic value that just, you know, added to the whole thing. But for two, it kind of adds like a realness to it in a way, because, you know, a lot of people see a final product and, you know, they might nitpick and say, like, oh, well, this particular thing wasn't good. Or, you know, they might just, you know, kind of fuck with it. But I don't think, you know, there's a lot of people who are really displaying, you know, like the work that it can take to, you know, say one simple line when you've been in there for hours just, you know, basically hitting your head up against the wall trying to make a song work. So, you know, I wanted to add it just because, you know, of that comedic value, and that's what I was trying to portray. But also, it's a testament to the work that got put into something like that.
Yeah, man. I mean, Because people don't get it. They think you walk in there, you read off your phone, and in 5 minutes it's over. But that's not really how it goes. You know, some of us are there for hours on end.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of sit there sometimes, and you know, you got to rewrite some stuff to make it work because it sounded good in your head, and all of a sudden it doesn't work. You know, you got to switch words around. And sometimes it's just like in those instances where you're trying to like switch the flow of the song on a dime, that can be very difficult to do on the fly. And that's really what I spent. I mean, towards the end of Mayonnaise there, you know, you notice like my mood change all of a sudden, like within that last verse, if you pay attention to that song. That's because the line that started that mood change, I probably spent 2 hours trying to actually spit properly. And I just rode the wave of being absolutely pissed off about how long it was taking me until the end of the song. And really, with what I was rapping about at that point, it did kind of fit. But I mean, like, it is just so excruciating sometimes. But it's honestly worth it if you can pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, I just think it's funny you threw it out there like that, because it's also, it's a funny 5 minutes too, just screaming, you know, every time you mess up. It's there's a lot of humor there.
That outtake track is the longest track on the whole album.
Yeah, clocked in at like 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, all the rest of them, I think, like, my second longest one after that was, like, a little bit over three, but no, like, my outtake track is the longest track in the album, because, I mean, that's really how much we had of comedic content of me fucking up.
Yeah, man. I'm going to ask you about a couple of the songs, but I got to ask you about my favorite track on the album, because this song absolutely goes fucking hard. And that would be Oof. Did you realize the banger this was when you were recording it?
Honestly, I mean, it's a very short song. I mean, basically, with that beat, you know, I got in there, I said what I needed to say, I got out. During the process of it, I mean, it was a very short, you know, like 1-2 punch process, you know, very limited mess ups. You know, I think I only really needed to make like one line different to make it work. So it was really just like a bang bang, you know, type of recording session for that song. I didn't really realize how hard it hit until I started getting like texts or I started seeing people and they were just like, who in the fuck is that song about? And what did they do?
That's
when I realized. It was kind of like, oh shit. And then I re-listened to it after. I was just like, that went pretty fucking hard. Oh my God.
Yeah, dude. I mean, after hearing that, and even PlayStation 2, it was like, who hurt you, bro? Like, you're going hard on these bitches.
So, and that's just the craziest part, too. Like, it wasn't that. You know, it wasn't anybody, you know, like that, you know? I mean, it's just something that, you know, with actually both of those songs, I mean, those are instances that, you know, in a modern culture, you know, you see so much of that shit that even if it's not directly happening to you, I mean, you could still be pissed off about it. Like, it could happen to a dude in the bar right next to me that I don't even know, and I'm probably still going to be pissed off about it just because I see it so much.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You know, I mean,
very relatable. Very relatable tracks.
Yeah, I mean, a song like Oof, I mean, you know, a girl that thinks she's hot shit just because she hangs around ugly chicks. I mean, how many times in, you know, your lifetime have you seen that? Probably a shit ton, you know?
Oh, yeah.
With PlayStation, you know, with, you know, the OnlyFans culture, which, I mean, I'm not exactly opposed to, but, I mean, there are certain people that go about that type of thing where it's just like you're just trying to, you know, hurt people, or, you know, the gold digger culture that has been around forever and, you know, just stuff like that. I mean, it has personally happened to me in some instances, but, I mean, nothing that, you know, I would really be able to write a full song about it. I mean, it's just seeing it happen in culture all the time where I was just kind of like, fuck it, I'm going to say something about this. And I'm going to find a way to do it where people are actually going to fucking listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome because, and like, who hasn't, like, I mean, if you only called the smoke, that's an oof. Like, that's fucking awesome. And like, how many, like, girls you know, like, just call the smoke or shit like that, especially.
Oh, dude, it happens all the time, you know?
Exactly. I really like that. Some of the lines on that had me dying. Especially one in particular about how they can't cheerlead. They should probably stick to playing rugby.
Oh, dude, I kind of snapped a little bit. Like, honestly, as much as the production process of that song was kind of like a one-two punch, quick bang bang type of thing, writing it was the same way. It just flowed like that. Like, basically, like, I was barely even, like, conscious, it felt like, and I was just writing it, and it just kept going and going.
Yeah, I mean the bars were really solid on that. The flow was really solid on that. That I know you said it was a quick kind of thing, but to me it's also one of the smoothest kind of bangers on the album because it just like it's quick, you know, it's catchy. The hook's extremely catchy. You know, the bars are just, you know, kind of like rapid fire. You know, it's a nice, well-made track.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a change of pace thing. Because, I mean, where it is in the album, you know, like, you know, a lot of my songs, other than, like, let's say Oof, or, like, I'd say, like, Avatar, are, you know, like, slower type of songs, you know, like, it's an easier flow to follow. And then all of a sudden, you know, you hit those two songs where you hit them, and all of a sudden, you know, it just kind of snaps, and you kind of wake up while listening to it, and, you know, it kind of brings you back into it.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely does. Jumping forward to Avatar in the four main groups. I thought this was like I was listening to this. I showed a couple people this, and this is everyone's favorite song on the album, Avatar.
Seriously.
Yeah. This is that. A lot of people fuck with Oof and like the Car Trouble shit too because of some of the fire bars, and you know the last track because a lot of people like the deeper stuff. But Avatar is like the most of the people that I've shown, it's their favorite song on the album. And especially, and I think it is another one where it's extremely relatable, right? You talk about the four like major like elements, the weed, the alcohol, poor life decisions, and comedy. And that's who you are. Dig a little deeper into
Basically, yeah.
what was your mindset there?
I mean, I heard the beat, and, you know, obviously, you know, you think of Avatar, you know, you think of like, you know, the intro and everything where, you know, like basically, you know, the impact of the world on all four of the elements, you know, I kind of, you know, like kind of brought that down to a lower level where it was just like, what are the four things that legitimately make up who I am, or at least the image that I'm trying to convey as a rapper? And then that hit, and I mean, that was one of the easiest songs to write because I mean, I'm writing about myself. You know, the
Yeah.
story is beats.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really well put together, and that seemed like another one to where you kind of had a basic idea for it and you kind of built on it. And yeah, it's definitely how it came across.
Yeah, and I mean, there were, I think there were like, two or three, I think there were two songs. There were the last two songs that I actually like recorded and got produced on the album. Avatar was one of them. And then I think I had to finish part of Friend in Me or something like that. But I mean, there was actually a point where it was that song and another one I can't quite remember off the top of my head right now, but I recorded it like fully, like those two songs in like 30 minutes.
Really?
And they were the last two songs because I mean, it was an instance where it was like I was going out of town for the weekend. You know, I was going on a camping trip or something. I just wanted to get it done before I left. So I mean, like before I even packed for that trip the day before I left, you know, I got in the booth and I just said, okay, I am getting these done.
Yeah.
So that's why it kind of surprises me to hear that Avatar is like one of the favorite songs out of the people that you showed because I felt like that was very rushed. Like, you know, I could have probably done things better on it, but I just wanted to get it done so bad that, I mean, I just created a product and threw it out there.
Really, yeah, it does not seem rushed. It does not seem rushed. Yeah, that one's good. There's a line, I don't know if it's Car Trouble's part one or part two, but when you're talking about the Karen haircut, I believe you refer to it as a cane.
I think that
That
was Friend of Me, actually.
was
Yeah,
a friend of me?
that was Friend of Me.
That was friend of
Yeah.
me with the Karen
Yeah,
haircut?
because I knew it was like one of the faster paced songs where I was spitting, and that was probably, yeah, it was that one.
Oh my dude, your lyricism, and the bars. Do you try to be kind of up on? Because I notice you talk about the Karen haircut and the OnlyFans culture and stuff. Is it important to you to kind of rap about like modern topics like that and stuff like that that's going to hit a little bit, or is that just kind of the way it flows when you're in the booth?
It's a little bit of both, because, I mean, with the description that I put actually on SoundCloud of the album, I mean, it ended up being, you know, I decided to, you know, give my opinion in a comedic manner about a lot of modern issues that, you know, concern our society. And, I mean, I didn't start off this album doing that. I was just like, I'm just going to write some songs and I'm going to put them together somehow. It was really, but after a while, you know, like the stories that I was telling within those songs and the overlying shit, I mean, it ended up kind of being that, where I was rapping a lot about modern shit that, you know, a lot of people have issue with, or a lot of people, you know, see on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, inadvertently, I guess the answer to that would be yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering, because it seems very on the pulse of things, you know, a lot of your bars. It's not a lot of dated references, very much with the times, and that's a good thing, you know. But I was just wondering if you were kind of, you know, keeping an eye out for that, or if that's just how it, you know, comes. Because I know when you're in there,
I mean,
too.
Seeing how well it worked, you know, hindsight, you know, after everything was done, I think that's something that I might try to look for in the future, but also at the same time, I might just let it flow because it happened anyway. And I think it would have been better off happening that way than it would be if I actually tried to do it.
Yeah, organic's always the way to go.
Right.
Especially with music. Now, the one track I definitely had to ask you about, which is probably the one thing, it's got the most views, too. Roses, featuring Gracie. This song is completely different from anything else on here. Very good. The message, you know, back to the relatability and stuff, like as a young man going through with what you're going through and talking about what you're talking about and coming a long way from a fuck up. How much does this song mean to you? Because this seems like the one where you really kind of put your heart in there.
It absolutely was. I mean, like, that is hands down, you know, my favorite song out of the whole project. I mean, that's really the one where, I mean, honestly, like, the only reason why there's a feature look on that is because I wanted the song to work perfectly. And, you know, once, you know, I just kind of, you know, realized, like, with that chorus and everything, like, I needed some sort of melody that I couldn't pull off myself. You know, it just kind of came to a point where it was just like, I want to do this. I want to do this right. So I, you know, I grabbed, you know, one of the best artists hands down that I personally know, in my opinion, and she was all over it. You know, she loved every bit of it, and I'd look to probably see her in some more stuff that I make, because she just had a blast with it, and I mean, it turned out to be a really good product.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, man. Especially, you know, you're singing a little bit in here, and you're doing some different things, and you're it's very creative. And do you plan on going this direction with your music a little more in the future, or do you want to keep it strictly comedy, or do you want to do a little more stuff like this?
I think you got to mix in a little bit of the serious stuff, because, I mean, that song kind of gives a playoff for, like, you know, this, you know, like, I can, you know, create an image, you know, even with all the storytelling, even if, you know, it's about me, and people could still see that as just that, an image. You know, you throw in something like Roses every now and again, where, you know, you kind of, like, describe and explain, like, who you are, you know, like, something that you came from and the reason why you are the way that you are to an extent. I mean, I think that's very important.
Yeah. I mean, I would 100% agree. Because, I mean, not only are you going deep, but with the singing and stuff, and it's probably the only singing you do on this album, right? I didn't hear much other singing.
It's the only legitimate singing that I try to do on the album. Yeah, I mean, you know, Friend and Me with, you know, that hook, it was just kind of like a mess around type of thing. You know, I was actually kind of going for a little bit of like a Young Gravy sound with what he does with some of his hooks and stuff like that. You know, that was kind of a mess around. But I mean, as far as like legitimately singing goes, I mean, Roses is the only thing that comes close to it. And even that, I mean, like, as far as my singing goes, you know, that's not even like the full potential of what I can do with that. And I'd like to see what I can do with that possibly moving forward. I mean, actually, initially, you know, when Chase started recording people that were close to me and I started seeing projects, you know, I thought that I'd fit into the niche of, like, hook work, because, you know, I thought that, you know, my voice would be good enough for that. And then, you know, I just wrote a song and started rapping. So I'm not trying to stray too far away from, you know, what my original thought was. And I'd like to implement that more going forward.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And you do have that raw ability to make a hook, especially going back to Oof and going to Roses, especially, and even Friend of Me, because I mean that's different and it's a good hook too. You do make these catchy type hooks that really go well together with the verses. So I think, I mean, you definitely got a handle on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably try to use that a little bit more because, I mean, a lot of the shit that I did in spaces where there probably would be hooks or something like that, you know, I kind of went on some monologue shit, which don't get me wrong, I fucked with all that too. But, you know, I think, like, you know, I'd like to, you know, work on a lot more songs where, you know, hooks fit into it so I can really, you know, just use that, you know, raw ability, as you just described it, that I seem to have to make something like that work.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing I noticed. It seems like you said earlier, you kind of put in this little thing to make a story to the album, a little story. Having all the skits that you have, like the voicemails and stuff, and even the stuff before, like Car Troubles and stuff like that. Was that what you wanted to do from the first, like from the beginning when you thought of this, or is that just little stuff you threw in there to make it all tie in?
When I initially had an idea for an album, I knew I wanted some sort of, like, you know, some sort of plot to it to make it all work together. Because, I mean, you know, anyone can, you know, throw a bunch of songs together, you know, that really are loosely related. Like, truthfully, the ones that I have on that album are. But, I mean, I thought that it would take, you know, a real talent to kind of loop it all together somehow. And I think that I did a pretty good job of that with, I mean, the voicemails and the skits I had within songs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're just as funny as the actual songs. Like, it's basically like stand-up, too. I mean, it's not, but it's hilarious, you know?
My thought process with some of the skits that I had, like, inside the songs where, you know, I monologued in places that a hook probably could have gone if I really tried hard enough for it. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can only say so much within a song, like, with, you know, like, within actual rhythm and within bars. Sometimes you just gotta say something.
Right. Okay. And so do you think that's going to be like a major thing in your music? Like, do you like doing the skits for the albums and the little monologues?
Oh, I absolutely love it. I mean, just, you know, coming up with them, you know, on the fly, because I mean, that's basically what we did. You know, we'd move further along in the project and be like, well, what if we did this for like a skit or something, you know, kind of tie everything together. I mean, that's like one of the funner parts of the process is just, you know, coming up with that random shit like that and then just going and doing it. It's just, it's honestly like, I have too much fun with it to not do it going forward.
Oh, absolutely. And it comes across, it doesn't really just come across as you're just messing around either. It seems like funny and planned, like it's supposed to be there. So you definitely did
right,
a good job.
Right.
If you can have any feature you want for the next tape, any feature or rap right now, who are you picking?
Let me actually talk about the next tape a little bit because I had a feeling like you might have asked about this here, but I mean the end track where it was, you know, the intro to what is going to be one of the next tapes, if not the next one. Really, I mean, that one is going to be a big story-driven one, and it's actually going to be a very ambitious project just because, I mean, of the way that I'm really going deep into the storytelling on that one. And, you know, like, I'm calling it El Trapo the Musical because I believe it or not, I do kind of want this to resemble some sort of like actual like musical performance, and it's going to be very difficult and there are going to have to be a lot of people involved in a lot of moving pieces, and I'm very excited to start working on it. So I guess for something like that, I mean, someone who has a lot of experience with, you know, making like storytelling work and stuff like that, as far as a feature for that would go, that's actually kind of a tough question because, I mean, that's kind of a tough spot to fill if you think about it.
Yeah. One guy, you know, just one feature.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys that I could say that could probably fit into it well and, you know, do it well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, oh, that kind of puts me in a spot right here.
I mean, we can move on, bro. It's not a...
Yeah, we can come back to that one. I'm going to have to think hard about that one.
Yeah,
that's a good-ass question.
That's all good. So is there anything else? Because you just got me hella fucking interested because I was very excited to talk about that. El Trapo the Musical. can you tell me anything else about, like, the idea of it? Or I know there's probably not too much you want to give about it, because, I mean, it's very exciting, the building up to it, and I'm sure you still have a lot to do. But is there any other kind of, like, samples or, like, little, you know, hints you can tell me about that, the next one?
I mean, really, it's just going to be the tribute to the good old days when, I mean, basically my senior year of high school, you know, I was really, you know, just one of the biggest partiers in town. It is the tribute to that that I feel like that time frame never got.
Okay. Cool. Hell yeah, man. I mean, I can't wait to hear it. On the description, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of work. You know, I can't even really give you a time frame because, you know, it's going to take a lot of people and it's going to take a lot of work. But, I mean, it will get out there, and I'm very excited to put it out there. You know, I might even, you know, like, kind of work on it on the side and, you know, probably, you know, like, spit out another album or two maybe before I actually create that. But as of right now, that is the next project that I see. You know, that is the next thing that I see myself working on other than maybe some singles, you know, to release to just kind of, you know, stay working and stay, you know, consistent.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I like that a lot, especially so when going into it, because what you said about this album is that this was kind of the tester album, right? This was the sampler. Put that out,
yeah.
See what people like, see what they don't like. It sounds like this next album, the El Trapo, is that going to be like the one, or is that like another tester? Is that the body of work that you really like are putting a lot of energy and that's kind of like, you know, your album? Or is that going to be another like little tester type thing?
No, I think this album is going to, you know, be very consistent, whereas this one was a lot more all over the place. And also part of it, you know, like when I thought of the concept, you know, I thought about it and it was really something that no one had ever done before. You know, something like that. So, you know, I wanted to see if it was doable for one, and for two, if it was if, you know, I could do it well. Because I think considering the skill set that I have and the people that I have around me that could easily help me out with that, I think it's a very doable project with the right amount of effort.
Yeah, 100%, man. And it seems like you got a good team around you. And it seems like so do you have a lot of heads in the studio? Do you got, like, kind of, like, guys, like, telling you, like, all right, this is good, this is not, you know, like, people
can... I mean, I have a lot of people that I ask advice of. I mean, you know, my guy, Gilly the Rapper, you know, I don't know if you ended up hearing any of his stuff, but, I mean, you know, more often than not, him and I would be in there at the same time. And, you know, he's given me, you know, a lot of, you know, perspective and help with my stuff, and I've done the same for him. So, you know, we've just kind of been constantly consulting each other. You know, my producer, you know, he knows what he's doing. He knows what sounds good. You know, he'll put his sense in there. And then, I mean, even, you know, like when I, you know, like send songs to you or like ask you for ideas, it was kind of like that, you know, just like, hey, you know, does this work, or, you know, do I need to do something else or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great. And that's great that you're getting other people's ear too, because when you know that, no matter what your art or your craft is or something you're working on, if being able to take other people's opinion is important, because that's kind of, I mean, you're making this so a lot of people can hear it someday, you know? So, I mean, that is important.
Yeah, I mean, the way I see it, you know, I'm making it for other people. I'm not making it for me necessarily. So, I mean, it's probably important to get other people's feedback on it and what they like, what they don't like, so I can make a proper product for, you know, other people. But at the same time, you know, kind of take it with a grain of salt, you know, not let that, you know, overflood, you know, like what I am trying to do with this. You know, so just kind of, you know, like keep my mindset, but like tweak it a little bit to make it sound a little bit better with what other people think.
Oh, yeah, 100%, man. I mean, suggestions are great, and it's great to have people that aren't yes men around you and people that'll tell you, but I mean, your vision is always your vision too. So I do.
Right.
I understand that. I totally get it.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the people I got around me, you know, like I have those, you know, like close guys that I'll ask for advice like that. But I mean, honestly, the hometown support of this project, I mean, guys like you showing it to people and, you know, just everyone that's messing with it, you know, like that has been a lot more prevalent than I could have imagined. Like, I mean, I didn't expect, like, a ton of people to just come out of the woodwork, you know, people I haven't talked to in years, you know, just saying, like, holy shit, I fuck with this. So, I mean, like, the support that I've gotten has just been absolutely immense. And, I mean, I know I probably have people that, you know, don't like it, or, you know, I probably got haters out there. I mean, everyone does, but I mean, they haven't come to the forefront to talk to me about anything. So I'm just going to take it in stride and keep doing what I'm doing, because from what I'm getting feedback from personally is that it's working.
Yeah, man. I mean, and it is. And especially for this being really, this is your first effort, you know, this is your first tape.
Yeah.
So the fact that, I mean, there's a lot of potential there and there's a lot of good stuff here, and you know, you're only going to get better at your first tape, so I mean, that's good, and that's also a good attitude to have. And yeah, I think it's only going to keep going up from here, so it's nice to watch it early on. As far as a big plans, obviously you have this El Trapo thing you're working towards. Can we expect any, because you said you were thinking about it, can we expect any singles in the future?
I'd say that as far as, you know, a couple of singles go, you know, just to, you know, kind of put myself back out there and be like, hey, I'm still alive. Cause I mean, it's been a couple of months since I posted that album and really I've done nothing since, you know, I mean, I've still been writing, you know, like I've still, you know, been like looking into beats and stuff like that, you know, kind of playing with stuff. But I mean, I think I am ready, about, you know, here pretty soon, you know, get back in the saddle and actually make something and put something out there, because I think there are people that are definitely waiting for it. You know, they hear an album like that where, you know, like I, you know, it's just, you know, the common theme of it is just a big sampler, you know, to see what people like. And I think with that message being very, I've made that very clear. I think a lot of people are probably excited to see, like, okay, he did this, you know, I like these things about it. What's next? And I think the answer to that question is going to come very soon.
Sweet. And as we're getting towards the end here, I did want to ask you, is, you seem to have a lot of fun with this and you seem to really enjoy it. Is this something that you really want to take seriously and you really want to make a career path eventually? Because I know hip hop, I mean, you know, it's very saturated, but is it something that you really want to move forward in doing, something in music in your life?
I think it's something that, you know, I enjoy doing it. You know, I could see, I mean, a lot of people are telling me that they could see a potential in me, you know, doing this moving forward and actually making something out of this. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm going to keep my 9-to-5. I'm not going to drop one album that was really hit in my hometown and just, you know, hunker down and rap. But I mean, if an opportunity
Absolutely.
Comes along to expand and make it into something, I'm going to take it 100%.
Absolutely. That's good to hear, man. Since we're getting towards the end here, is there anything else you want to plug, my friend? You got anything else going on or something? Floor is yours.
I mean, really, you know, I just want to give a shout out to the people that, you know, really helped me along through, you know, getting to this point, you know, keeping everything going. Like I said, you know, all the hometown support, you know, my producer, my boy, Beatmaker Baker, you know, Gilly the Rapper. I mean, guys like Dino that's been on a couple of songs with Gilly, and, you know, just, you know, a lot of close friends that have really been supportive of this and have seen my vision and wanted to help me, you know, pull it off. So, you know, I really appreciate all of that. And, also, you know, I do want to shout out Gracie for helping me make Roses what it was. I mean, she's on SoundCloud as well. I don't know what exactly her name is. You know, Gilly the Rapper's on SoundCloud, and Beatmaker Baker is also on SoundCloud with some of his older, like, beats and some EDM stuff that he's made. So, I mean, check them all out. I mean, they're legit, and, you know, they've helped me get to the point where I am, if, you know, if nothing else.
Yeah, man. That's your team. Before we head off, I got one big question to ask you, what all the people want to know. It's been flooding my emails. will we see your boy LT2 and a Dan Hama collaboration in the future?
You know what? I think we will. I think we're going to have to make that happen for sure. Because, I mean, you were there since the beginning when I was freestyling in the back of the bus, you know, coming home from wrestling tournaments. I think that would be a perfect thing to bring it full circle.
I mean, you're the only dude I would come out of retirement for, to be honest, Leon. Probably the only one.
I'm with it, bro.
All right, man. This is Control Chaos. Make sure to check out the fucking album by your boy LT2. Make sure to check out whenever it comes out, the El Trapo, the musical, and anything else he's got coming up. You can check out his SoundCloud. Are you on any other platforms yet, or just SoundCloud at the moment?
No, I'm just on SoundCloud for now. I'm gonna try to seep into probably, you know, some YouTube stuff and, you know, maybe Spotify at some point here soon. But for right now, I'm just sticking to SoundCloud.
Right. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Make sure to check out his SoundCloud. Check out his tape, Leon. It was a pleasure having you on, man. And be safe, bro.
Yeah. You too, man. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. Have a good one, bro.
Yeah. You too.
In the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby.
Shake it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking with the bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack.